Our reading today is from Genesis, the first chapter, and through the second chapter, verse 4a. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in it which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas. Let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and every beast of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth and when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Our next reading is from Acts 2, selected verses. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. That last line we just sang, Come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, in our hearts your work begin. Bring the healing restoration of your image lost by sin. From your fullness all receiving grace on grace, new life within. We have some pretty amazing hymns that we get to sing and we get to enjoy. And on this day, on Trinity Sunday, we got to hear about the jobs that we have as Christians to tell people about all that God has done for us. But we also get to talk about all of what God has done for us individually, bringing this healing restoration, healing what was broken in the fall from sin. Thank you for hanging with us on that not-so-short reading from our Old Testament in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. That's right. It's a good one. We don't want to break it up, you know. You don't want half of creation. You want the whole thing. Near the end of that, verse 26 of chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." From the very thought of making man, we get to hear about this one God being in us, being more than just one. This God that we would know throughout Scripture as a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And again, Marty and I get to talk about this each year. Who gets to do the children's message on Trinity Sunday? Last year, I got the opportunity to call her a heretic lovingly. Today, I was going to be the heretic, but she saved me from it. So thank you, Marty. Trying to describe this one God in three persons, this one God who is very clearly one God and yet has three distinct parts. How do you really describe that? What do you say? How can you possibly imagine that? There's nothing else like it in all the world. There are all sorts of wonderful analogies, and it's always fun to hear your best ones and to find the good way I can call you an ancient heretic. It's okay. It was a children's. I did children's messages for 13 years. I've been called it many times. It's okay. It's very difficult to try to lay before people who this God is. But one thing we know for sure, He is the God who has created all things. He's the God who created you, who made you and who loves you, who knew you and knew that you would be born into sin, that you would continue to sin throughout your life, even after you had heard about the gospel and you knew what was right and wrong, even then you would continue to sin, and God would still love you anyways. God would still love even me. God loves all of us, so much so that He would send Jesus Christ to pay for our sins on the cross and to die in our place. So that just as David had said in our other reading from Acts, where Peter references David, and he says, "You will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." We have a God who has created us and loves us and wants to be present with us. You have a God who wants to be with you always. Now, I don't know about you. There have been people who I've loved in the past and cared for in a lot of ways. I don't want to be present with them at all times. I don't know if I'm the only one who's like that. I like being around people, if you haven't figured this out. If you're here on a weekday and I'm supposed to be doing work at my desk, please, if I've been talking to you for more than an hour, send me back to my office. I like to be with people. I like to be around them. I like to talk to them. I imagine many of you are the same. Not always with everybody, but certainly with some people. You like to be around others. And yet, sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we get tired of that individual. Sometimes we just need time to ourselves. We have a God, though, who says, "I want to be with you always." He's there with us when we're doing great. He's there with us when we're hurting. He's there with us when we are doing our job well of telling people about Him. He's there with us when we're not doing so great. Those times where we have missed opportunities to share His love. We have a God who loves us so much that He wants to be with us always. And with that, as long as our Old Testament and epistle reading were, let's focus on our gospel reading. This is a passage often called the Great Commission. Jesus gives his disciples one last command, one last directive before ascending into heaven. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, there are a lot of really neat things to focus in on. It is not just a wonderful directive to go out and have a job. You have a job of a God-given vocation here, to go and make disciples. Go and tell people all of the good things that Jesus Christ has done. But man, there's some really fun theological points. When it says, when he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, notice it is a singular name of these three persons. Baptize people into the name of the triune God. That is why we baptize children and adults, babies, and those who are young in the Lord in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The one name, all three. It's not just because, you know, we didn't think one splash of water didn't take. We need three times. It is that one name of these three persons. You are baptized in that name. And that name is now yours. Through baptism, you are adopted into that family. That family name is yours. You belong to God. As his child, he wants to be with you every day. He wants desperately to be with you, not just every day here on earth, but through all eternity. That's why our God has saved us from our sins. That's why he continues to fill us with his Holy Spirit, to have faith and to trust in what Jesus has done. That's why he's given you his name. And that idea of baptizing in the name, it's like, okay, well, good. So we have to make sure we use God, like that one name. Okay, great. But actually, it's really neat seeing it in Greek, and I feel like there's more than one. I think that I've seen more than 10 different really well-respected translations that say, you know what? Let's not just say in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but the Greek words there are eis ta anima. Ta anima is the name, but eis is a word, E-I-S, if you were looking at it in English, that means into a destination, a location almost. Let's baptize people into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In your baptism, it wasn't just a name spoken over you. You were put into the name of God. You were put into his family. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Make sure people know that they are in the family. You've been given a new place. You're not outside the family. You're not outside the building. At the end of your life, at the end of the world, you are not showing up as an unknown individual. You are welcomed and greeted and brought in to a place that has many rooms, a place that Jesus has gone before to prepare a place for specifically you to be there. And as one who knows that that's what we're looking forward to, getting to be in our Father's house, even in a greater way than being here in our sanctuary, in our Father's house in its full glory, seeing him in his full majesty. As we look forward to that, we have verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Fun point of reference. Whenever you see Jesus saying, I am in the Bible, it's a really neat thing to take a look at. If you know this from the Old Testament, right? You've got Moses who's been dispatched to go and get people out of Pharaoh's hand. Let my people go. Sorry. It's very exciting. I can't think of that story without hearing that in my head. It very rarely sneaks out. When Moses is doing this, he says, well, who am I supposed to say is sending me? There are lots of gods out there, right? Well, who do I say? What's your name? He says, I am. I am is sending you. And from that point, you get to see it in John several times, the Gospel of John. We have Jesus who will say, I am, and it carries a lot of weight. You have people reacting to it, and if you're just reading through and you don't have some of this context, you're like, man, why are people all angry the way that Jesus said that? When he says, I am, he's saying, the name of God is me. I am God. He's pointing out that he's not just a great man. He's not just a great prophet. He's not just a miracle worker. Jesus is God. And so when we see, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age, behold, God is with you. Now, again, it's really neat looking in the Greek to see this all. The phrase there is ego eimi when you hear I am. But it was really fun when I looked in Greek and was like, oh, right, I should see ego eimi. I am with you always. Oh, it's not that, though. He played with it a little bit. He says, ego methumon eimi. I'm sure that really means a lot to you, though. That methumon in the middle is the with you. So it says, I with you am to the end of the age. He literally puts you in the name I am. I with you am. Jesus Christ is the great I am. And he's given you this name, saying that you are God's child. I, with you, am. This is a really, really cool thing. This is a really amazing point for us to keep with us. You who are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you do have the promise of eternal life. Your sins washed away from you. The old sinful nature drowned and washed away, this new life given. The resurrected life of Christ. And because of that, you look forward to heaven. And until then, until the end of the age, God is with you. In fact, he is saying, you are with me. You are in me. You are in my name. You are mine. When we read, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It feels very much like a set of instructions, a directive. We go and we baptize, and we go and teach, and we trust that Jesus is with us always. Got it. All right, we're good to go. It feels kind of like Santa Claus, though, where I better be a good little boy because he's always watching, and I don't want to get a lump of coal. Right? He's with me always, and I'm supposed to be baptizing and teaching, and I don't always do that. But that's not really the flavor that we're given. That's not really what Jesus is getting at. He is giving us this great directive, this great job that has a great promise. I have given you this gift to be baptized into my name. Go and teach people that. Go and do that for them. Baptize them into the name of God and teach them everything that God has commanded, knowing that I, with you, am to the end of the age. You are with me, and I am with you. I am in you. We have a God who does not just create us, a God who has not just died for our sins, but a God who wants us to be with him, so much so that he has made us a part of his family and brought us into him, that we are with our God every day of our life. You are so dearly loved. There is never a time where you can truly be alone. There is never truly a time where you will do something that will make God love you less. There's never a time where you will not fulfill your job and your duty, your vocation of sharing Jesus in a way that would somehow remove you from his family. Your God has made you his own. He will keep you with him, and he will stay in you until he brings you to your eternal home. This is what our triune God does. Creates us, sustains us, forgives us from sins, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, keeps us connected to him all the way into our eternal home. And may that peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, continue to guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.